thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Well, hear ye, tax court in session here now with Andrew Foster here this morning. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
Doing well. What are we talking about today?
You got your bracket filled out?
Oh, yeah. I got mine filled out.
All right.
Yeah. I've got a couple surprises down. You got to always pick a 5-12 upset somewhere.
That's true.
Right?
That's a pretty safe bet, usually.
Yeah, but like 85%
of the time. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Then you always pick the wrong one.
Yeah, that's right. That's my problem.
Then your bracket's busted right from the very beginning.
Yeah, I think it's my West bracket could get busted really easily, very quickly. All right, so what have we got today? What are we talking about?
Well, last week, Ben, we had a question from a listener regarding the principal residence exclusion under Section 121 of the Internal Revenue Code, mm-hmm. where you sell your principal residence that you have owned and used for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and you can exclude $250,000 for a single taxpayer, $500,000 for married taxpayers. And it's just one of those nice benefits mm-hmm. of home ownership because, you know, if you buy a home, or you bought a home a long time ago and you're now looking to sell it and you meet the test, mm-hmm. then you can exclude a large chunk of gain, potential gain, and not pay a single dollar of taxes on it.
Right.
So it's a very, very useful exclusion. And our caller Chris last week asked a very good question, and we're going to get to that at the end, but I want to go over kind of just the basic rules mm-hmm. of the exclusion. So the residence has to be your principal residence. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have more than one home, but the home that you're going to claim the exclusion for has to be your principal residence. And the way that you prove that is that you owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ownership's pretty easy to prove, that you have a deed for the property. And the use requirement means that you're actually physically present there mm-hmm. 2 of the last 5 years. And you can use the exclusion once every 2 years. So, you know, if you own multiple homes, it's a possibility for you to sell a home, move somewhere, you know, use the home for 2 years, own it for 2 years, and then sell another home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good little way to, you know, if you don't mind moving, mm-hmm. You bounce around a little bit. And then if you can find that property that, you know, you could fix up or, you notice that it's, you know, going to highly appreciate, very useful tool to save some money on some taxes. The principal residence requirement also is broad, you know, mm-hmm. houseboats, mm-hmm. you know, mobile homes, even those new tiny houses, mm-hmm. you know, you could qualify for principal residence.
Now, do you have a number of weeks or so or months or of living in it over those 2 years and to make it qualify?
Yeah. So just, you got to make sure that you hit, 24 months, you know, during the 5 year period.
Oh, 24 months over 5 years.
Exactly. So as long as you've used it 2 years,
so you could actually have two.
Yeah.
You could have two principal residences.
You better believe it. You could have two homes and both could qualify. So uh-huh. let's say you move down from, the central part of the state down to the coast for mm-hmm. retirement and you've lived here for 2 years, but you look back and say, oh, over the last 5 years, I lived in my old home 2 of the last 5 years. Either one would qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a good.
I'm saying you could have two at the same time.
You could. Exactly. You could have two that qualified at the same time. That's mm-hmm. right. Just make sure though, Ben, you know, we're all about documentation mm-hmm. that when when you're living in these areas to prove use, you know, it's those simple tests that we talk about, you know, where do you get your mail, mm-hmm. where are you registered to vote, you know, things like that. So if you do make a move, you know, make sure you get all that stuff transferred over if you're trying to get a thing transferred to your principal residence. There are some limitations. If you have a home office, for instance, in your house, and you depreciate that
mm-hmm.
when you go to, you know, go to sell the property, you're going to have to recapture that depreciation. What that means is the exclusion just will not apply for that percentage of the home that you've been claiming
right.
as a home office and have been deducting.
Well, that rule is changing now though, isn't it? About home offices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so right. past rule there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't qualify for the 2 out of 5 years, but you have health reasons or job reasons, related reasons why you're having to move, there's a partial exemption amount that you could claim. So just if you don't meet the 2 years, don't think, oh, well, no good. I don't qualify. Just realize that there are, you know, partial exemptions that would allow you to not use the full 250, but a prorated portion of the 250 to be excluded from the sale of your principal residence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems like a pretty standard, simple little test, Ben, but you can very quickly see that there's twists and turns in individuals' lives and facts and circumstances that could send you down a path where, do I qualify?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it possible? You know, and, you know, that's when definitely you need to seek out someone who, you know, a CPA,
right,
a tax attorney that deals with the code and knows these kind of nuances to the rules. And that brings me, you know, really to Chris's question last week. And Chris's question was, you know, relatively simple. He said, hey, my mom's been in an assisted living facility for, the last 7 years. And he said, you know, in order to keep her in the facility, we had to make the tough decision to sell her home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, you know, is there any way that we could meet the principal sale 121 exclusion to exclude some of that gain? Because Ben, when I asked him some follow-up questions about, you know, when did your mom buy the property? 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
What'd she buy it for? About $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has she made any improvements to the house? Well, yeah, she's made some improvements to the house, but, you know, where's going to be the documentation on that? It's going to be very, very difficult to prove. And the reason for the improvement question is because we want to try to get that tax basis up as high as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you start with cost basis, $10,000. And any improvements that you can tack on, you start adding up to get your basis higher so you can reduce your gain on that particular property. But his main concern was, is there any way that I can qualify for the exclusion? You know, is there some type of exemption or exception? And I told Chris when he called, I said, you know, my guess is, you know, that's a likely exclusion or exemption.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is that since we've got 7 years there, is there any way that we can still make your facts and circumstances fit into the exclusion? And lo and behold, Ben, when I went and looked at the regulations for Section 121, we find out that, yes, there is. There's an exclusion that says that if you're out of your residence due to care at a state-licensed facility, then you only have to meet a one-year use requirement for the home, 1 out of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, in Chris's circumstance,
Been there seven.
Yeah. So, you know, here's an example where we can't turn back the clock on Chris's situation. I hate it for him. I mean, I wish there was some other exclusion that just said, look, you know, your mom doesn't want to be in the assisted living facility, doesn't want to be in the nursing home,
right,
wants to be at home. So we're going to, you know, basically say, if she has an intent to return home, we're going to count that as being used at her, you know, use requirement at her home. But unfortunately, we're stuck with this 1 out of 5 year rule.
Right.
And I think it's a pretty good lesson, which says that, you know, if you've got a situation where your family member is receiving treatment or is in a facility, it's a really good idea, to try to pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, look, I just want to know if there's anything I could be doing right now to save a little bit of money, save my mom's assets.
Would it be a combination of that, signing the intent to return home? I know that protects it from some Medicare, may some Medicaid issues, not Medicare, but Medicaid issues. But would that have any difference in this?
No, as far as the tax situation, that's where we get into different rules mean different things. You know, and unfortunately, just in his situation, too much time had elapsed and it just wasn't, we weren't able to, you know, wrangle a way into 121 to be able to save, any type of the exclusion amount there for his situation. And so, you know, the lesson here is, and it's not Chris's fault. We, you know, people get in these situations and circumstances and they do the best they can.
Right.
You know, but the problem is there's so many different rules. Ben, you mentioned Medicaid rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a show about tax rules, you know, and none of them are, you know, the same.
Right.
And if you do one thing that's good for Medicaid rules, it may be bad for tax rules.
Because in that case, for example, if he had inherited it, if she stays in it long enough that she one day passes away, mm-hmm. he would inherit it at the original tax basis, that $10,000.
Yeah. But
that's not going to be the case in order to satisfy her being able to stay where she is.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's just, it's tough because you're trying to juggle all of these different rules and, mm-hmm. and try to make sure that you're making the best decisions, you know, and unfortunately, you know, when a bell gets rung like this happened in his situation, you know, it's hard to unring the bell. Mm. And then it's hard to move the pieces around to get him a good tax benefit. But, you know, maybe there's a way that we could mold the circumstances now for Chris to try to preserve some of those assets that he, you know, the assets that he sold the house. Mm-hmm. So he's got some money there. Maybe mm-hmm. we can find a way to, you know, move the pieces of the puzzle around and preserve that money for his mom should she need additional care later.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, certainly I think, given his circumstances, that would be a good conversation to have. And that's what I encourage our listeners to do. You know, if you find yourself in a situation and you're just like, I'm not quite sure, you know, what the rule is about mm-hmm. taxes or about Medicaid or about any of these government programs, you know, give us a call at Harbell and Collins and let us sit down with you so we can try to fit your facts and circumstances and get you the best tax result, the best result of Medicaid, whatever you may need.
Okay. All right. If you want to find out more about your own tax situation and you want to get some answers, call on Harbell and Collins. You can email Andrew A. Foster at harbellandcollins.com. Call for an appointment at 726-9050.